Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Well done on You Just Made the List. I always get so fired up when we do that. We get good participation. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Friday afternoon, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Speaking of ESPN SEC Network, Peter Burns on the line with us. Peter, how you doing?
What's up, boys? I was thinking about it. That's Power from Kanye, which I think last week I said, I was like, hey, if I'm going to have a song like to get you, you know, ready for the weekend, I feel like that was like, I just go back in the days of Johnny Manziel walking out before A&M versus Alabama, and I'm like, that gets me going. And so on our morning show this morning, I started thinking about, well, maybe, you know, we played Jock Jan songs one time. I was like, what about Jock Jan's Volume 2? Not a very good soundtrack, I'll be honest with you. Jock Jan's 1, very good. Jock Jan's 2, not so much.
You know, rarely do the sequels work, Peter. You know,
they're
just
true.
Not the first one. Usually, if the first is really good, the second doesn't have much of a chance.
Caddyshack 2. I'm sure Titanic 2 is going to suck if it ever comes out. You know, the sequel.
Titanic 2, Major League 2, just wasn't the same.
Right.
So, what did you make of
Ghostbusters 2? Sorry.
Yeah, we can look. We don't have enough time to go through all the failed sequels. I mean, it's bad. It's a long, long list. So we were talking, obviously, in this market, as you can imagine, and I brought this up. We had Paul Feinbaum on yesterday, and Titans Steelers game has been postponed. It's been moved to week 7, and
The
NFL went 3 weeks, as you know, without anything like this, and so it took until week 4. College football has dealt with this every single week. Now that the SEC is getting ramped up, and we're going into the second week of their conference schedule and their season, when do you think it's right? It's not if, it's when. When do you think this is going to hit the conference?
Well, I mean, you know, it has. I mean, the thing is, it has not gotten to the point where it has caused a cancellation of games. In fact, I had Commissioner Greg Sankey on my show today and this morning, and he said, listen, we were the only conference, you know, when we started on 9/26, we're the only conference so far that was able to play a full week one slate with every single one of the members that were scheduled to play. And so, you know, I think that part of it is that they have been dealing with this, just not in math numbers all at the same time. And, you know, with roster size of the NFL and them doing daily testing, you know, 2 or 3 tests here means a whole lot different than if you're talking about 7 guys that may have got it back in July and had to quarantine, or just like how Tennessee, you know, I mean, hell, Vols were down, what, you know, 40-some-odd players due to contact tracing a couple of weeks ago. And so they have had to deal with this, but really not in game fashion yet.
You know, we went down to Baton Rouge last hour to learn a little bit more about LSU, and we know they garnered a lot of attention after Saturday's loss to Mississippi State, and now they're coming here to take on Vanderbilt. And basically what Matt Muscana told us is that, you know, in past, if it wasn't for the unbelievable season last year, it would have been fire and brimstone, you know, all week. Because I asked him, like, how the show's been this week down there. I mean, how bad has it been after what they gave up on defense and, you know, this and that? And he said, typically, you know, it would have been a mess. But he kind of described to us, Peter, that the fan base, dare I say, is still kind of living off the high of last season, and it wasn't anywhere near the levels that they've seen in the past. Are you surprised by that?
No, because I'm one of those guys, right? Like, take off the SEC Network hat. I'm born and raised in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I mean, my parents went to school with Pistol Pete Maravich. I'm looking at an LSU helmet in my shirt in my office right now. I'm that guy, and I'm like, I'm still punch drunk on 15-0 and having a Heisman Trophy winner and a quarterback that can actually make a forward pass. So, like, nothing's going to kill my vibe this year. But it's a one-year-only deal. Like, I always used to say that when I covered the Spurs in San Antonio. Like, you win a championship, the next year is a gravy year. Like, of course, you want to go back-to-back, and you might get a little upset, but you're not, like, throw the remote, curse, you know, want to kick your neighbor's dog mad, at least for another year. So you combine that with everything that's going on with the pandemic and the fact that Stingley, Derek Stingley Jr., the second, the quarterback, was out in week one. It's, now, that changes, of course, if you go out there and you lay an absolute egg against Vanderbilt and you lose that game. I mean, trust me, the honeymoon, you know, ends for a lot quicker than expected. But I think LSU is going to be in a better spot. I don't think a lot of people understood what Derek Stingley Jr. meant to that team, not on the field, but like off the field. And I think that really hurt LSU yesterday and or last week against Mike Leach's air raid offense.
Okay, so with that being said, you've got Auburn and Georgia this week. That's fantastic. We just talked about Mississippi State's big win. Let's take Alabama out of the equation. So many years it's always been like, okay, if it's not Alabama, it's LSU's year. Or if it's not LSU is second after Alabama, then it's Auburn's year. Okay, I ask you, take Alabama out of the equation this year in the West. Who's two in your mind?
I mean, we'll find out this weekend, but it's hard to say that it's not either, you know, it's hard to say that it's not Auburn right now. I mean, I went back and watched week one, guys, and really went through again. I only saw one team that I thought was elite from the time they got off the bus to the time the game ended, and that was Alabama. Like, they were in a class of their own because I thought Georgia had issues, Florida had issues, A&M had a boatload of issues. And, of course, we saw what happened with LSU. And even Auburn, I'll tell you what, Kentucky was playing them perfectly until a kind of a bonehead call on the goal line that changed the dynamic of that game right before halftime. I'm not sure that had they not scored there, even if it's just a field goal, they get the ball in the second half and Kentucky doesn't end up winning that game. So I'm not sure right now through week one I can say any team is close to the level that Alabama is right now.
Peter Burns is with us from ESPN, SEC Network, going around the league here. So, Peter, let's continue and give us your thoughts on Georgia. And should they be worried a little bit? Or do you think they'll get the quarterback thing figured out and they'll start looking a lot better?
Yeah, I mean, I go back and look at for Georgia, I think of what Rhett Lashley. Remember Rhett Lashley, the former offensive coordinator at Auburn when they had it rolling, and now he's the offensive coordinator at Miami. And I watched Miami week one. I thought, I was kind of sold a bill of goods that Lashley was going to be great and that Eric King was going to be the next coming. And I'm like, all right, they're okay. They're kind of clunky. And then by week two and by week three, they are just absolutely rolling people. And so I think that's a little bit of what I think happens with Georgia right now. Todd Monken's still trying to put his whole brand new offenses. They're trying to figure out what the hell is going on in the quarterback position. But when it comes down to it, Georgia plays extremely good defense, guys. And as good as we thought they were winning games with their defense last year, this defense might be twice as good. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, you know, I'm not really too concerned. That's why I'd probably start Stetson Bennett this week, the walk-on kid that entered the game last week for Arkansas, because I don't think you need to, you know, out Alabama or out LSU last year a team right now. I think it's survive in advance. And I think that they could do that against Auburn, just playing good, solid ball control and defense. It's not sexy, but a win's a win in the SEC.
So I think we're all curious, having watched Texas A&M and Vanderbilt, everybody kind of pleasantly surprised with a lot of the unknowns that Vanderbilt was bringing to the table, at least for 1 week. Texas A&M couldn't feel too good about that, and now playing against Alabama. So, Peter, in your mind, where's the balance between struggles of Texas A&M and pleasant surprise of Vanderbilt?
Yeah, I think it's in between. I think it's a little bit of both, right? You know, everybody wants to say, oh, it's all about this or all about that. I think it's a little bit of, I was impressed with what Ken Seals could do. I mean, hell, a true freshman going into Kyle Field. And yeah, I know there wasn't 90 or 115,000, but still, I thought he showed some quarterback play and some moxie out of a freshman, freshman making that start. But honestly, this was a year that it was all about Texas A&M, right? I mean, this was what Jimbo Fisher has been kind of selling. We're going to play a bunch of young guys. We're ready for it. And they didn't look the part. And Kellen Mond just looked lost out there. And mind you guys, this was without Demetri Moore playing. And, you know, and there were several Vandy, as you guys know better than I do. Hell, I don't have to tell you. Vandy was a little short-staffed as well, and yet A&M couldn't impose their will on them. So I'm wondering if that, you know, not having Jamon Osborne, who was their star wide receiver, opt out, if that doesn't play a bigger role into A&M. I mean, do you feel buzz around this game at all?
Not really.
No.
It's weird, right? I mean, I feel like even when Sumlin had it rolling and they were 5-0, and of course going back to Manziel days, but even the last couple of years I felt like, all right, A&M Alabama, there's a little juice to this game. I have felt zero about this game, and that doesn't bode well for the Aggies as they're coming into this, you know, hey, it's time to poop or get off the pot of your Jimbo Fisher and results.
Peter Burns is with us from the SEC Network and ESPN. So how do you feel about a 1-0 Tennessee team after the win over South Carolina and now taking on a not very good Missouri team?
Yeah, I mean, I think the schedule sets up well for Jeremy Pruitt, right? You get this, and I think you get a winnable opponent, and you get them at home. And, of course, you get the big news that Cade Mays comes back. So I feel better. I mean, there was nothing about the play against South Carolina that I thought, okay, this has already kind of flipped the switch a little bit. But I don't think I was expecting too many teams to kind of have that week one. I kind of felt it was a let's figure out what the hell we have. I mean, what, 1 of 11 on third downs, and they still got the victory? So you look at that and go, there's a lot to clean up, and that's what coaches love. I guarantee you, Pruitt will tell you this, anytime that you've got a win but you've got enough film on Mondays and Tuesdays to just rip the guys to shreds is a good thing, and you still get the W. So I think they'll be able to show something. I'm curious to see how they use Cade Mays now that he's eligible and if that really helps the rushing game and buy Garantano a little bit more time.
Yeah, I know it's weird to think that we're only 1 week in and here we are the 1st of October, so I don't really know how much you can tell after 1 week, but of the teams, and you kind of hinted earlier, it's Alabama, then who's behind Alabama, but when you look at a team that maybe they're predicted not to do a whole lot, did you see anything out of week one to tell you that, all right, maybe they're going to be play spoiler, whether it's even though Ole Miss is 0-1, can the Lane train get something going this week against Kentucky? But how would you answer that?
Yeah, I mean, it's the two schools in Mississippi, right? I mean, it's obviously it's Mississippi State with what they did again in Baton Rouge, the fact that KJ Costello passed for 600 yards. But I mean, that's the headline. I think the bigger thing is how physical Mississippi State's defense looked. I mean, they absolutely just ravaged the offensive line for LSU, and that's why Brendan struggled so much. So I was impressed with that. And I think the thing with Lane is kind of what we saw over the last couple of years. They're just going to be a pain. Like, you can't just roll in. Like, you know, and expect the W is like, as if they can get something figured out defensively, they'll be all right. But offensively, man, Matt Corral and the play calling looked incredible. So I still think now, before the year, and this is just week one, before the year I thought that Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss were going to be the harder out because there was more talent. I absolutely have changed my opinion that it's Mike Leach. Simply because of not only the offense, I knew the offense would look good, but more importantly, I think the defense a lot more physical than I expected.
We do a segment on this show called Silly Underdog Picks where you have to pick an underdog to win outright. So last week I went Kentucky. I felt really good about it. I was like, all right, maybe they're not the same Kentucky that they have been the last few years, but Auburn, who knows, it's the first week. And then I watched that game and it was, you know, I mean, Auburn did what they needed to do to win, but I think it was more some of the mistakes, coaching mistakes that Kentucky made that I just sit there and I go, are they going back? Are they going back to same old Kentucky where you can put them on the schedule and go, probably going to get that win? Again, 1 week, but what did you see from Kentucky?
Yeah, I mean, I saw a team that was as good as Auburn, frankly, and that's why I'm really intrigued with the Kentucky-Ole Miss matchup this week because I thought they could go toe-to-toe, and I think Auburn's a pretty good team. The problem is that uncharacteristically, Eddie Grand just didn't call what I thought he would call. And normally he's been a genius. Remember last year with Lynn Bowden Jr., I mean, the play calling and design was incredible, and yet they continue to struggle with just kind of simple reads. I think the offensive line is still good, and they're going to be a problem. I mean, that's a team that doesn't fit well against the odds of a Georgia, right? Like, when you want to be able to run the ball, I think they're going to be able to stop the run pretty well. They did against Auburn, and they're going to be able to run the ball fairly well also. But the difference is, can they be elite? I don't think so. Again, the only team I can see being elite right now is Florida, as if they fix their defense a little bit. And then Alabama just looked like it was wash, rinse, repeat. They looked pissed off from the time they got off the bus, and it was a difference maker.
All right, let's end with this, Peter, so with your LSU background. The best LSU coach ever was whom? LSU coach.
LSU coach. Hard to not say Skip Bertman. And I was just saying that because I'm going baseball on you, if you could appreciate that. I think that's the best coach. As far as talking LSU football coach.
How about football, yeah.
Yeah, football coach, gosh, it's after last year, I don't know how you don't say to Ogeron, and I know that's early, is I had so many people last year go, man, if this is what happened with Ogeron, like, how much talent did we miss out in the Les Miles days? So, no, I mean, it's still Saban. I always forget because I'm married to an Alabama Crimson Tide fan that I'm always thinking Saban's an Alabama guy. So it goes Saban 1, I'll go Ogeron 2, Miles 3.
Isn't that so? I thought there was a chance you might say Orgeron just because of last year. And isn't that amazing, considering, you know, what we weren't even sure if he was even going to make it? And look at that. I mean, unbelievable.
Because you put the ghost of beating Alabama, you put the ghost of not having a Heisman Trophy candidate, you put the ghost away of having an offense, you did it. And that's why I'm curious about this week and bringing it full circle to Vanderbilt is that traditionally when you've lost a game, if you're LSU, under Ogeron, you've responded extremely well the next week. There hasn't been this any kind of lull where the team kind of quits on Ogeron. And so that's why I think this is one of the more intriguing matchups that I didn't think before the season started when we got the new schedule that I was going to circle a game as far as interest level. Vanderbilt, LSU damn sure has my attention, which is saying something in week two.
No doubt. Peter, always enjoy the visits. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you down the road.
Later, boys.
All right, Peter Burns, SEC Network. Always good chats with him. Back to wrap up the third hour next.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.